just we'll wing it. Should we go straight, just learn the next Mishnah? Who knows? Maybe if we do this for enough years, we can learn all the Pirkei Avos. So let's do Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis. So says the Mishnah, Shimon HaTzadik Hayu Mishiyarei Knesset HaGedolah. Shimon HaTzadik was from the Shiyarei Knesset HaGedolah. What does that mean, Shiyarei? Shiyarei means Shirayim. You ever any Hasidim here? No, not a big Hasidic crowd. Anyone familiar with Shirayim? The concept of Shirayim? Extras, exactly. Shirayim is leftovers, it's extras. So it's a big concept in Chassidus, that when the Rebbe, if you go to a tish, the Rebbe's like giving out, if he's a real Rebbe, it's with his hand, you know, not with the utensil. And he's just, you know, so if he'll eat a little bit, and then the rest is the Shirayim of the Rebbe, is what the Rebbe left over. Oh, so what the Rebbe left over, that's like a big zechus. So everyone, you know, all the Chassidim punch each other and jump in, whatever, and try to grab a little bit of Shirayim from the Rebbe. So Shirayim means leftovers. So what does it mean to be from the leftovers of the Knesset HaGedolah? So it means that he was from the last of them. He was from the last of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. That's who Shimon HaTzadik was. And he was also a Kohen Gadol during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now that is a big chiddush, that someone named Shimon HaTzadik would have been a Kohen Gadol during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, because one thing we know about the period of the second Beis HaMikdash was that the Kohanim Gadolim were notoriously terrible. The Kohanim Gadolim were not all, but largely Rishayim during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Gemara, we just learned recently in Daf Yomi, in Maseches Yoma, the Gemara tells us that during the first Beis HaMikdash, which lasted for 410 years, there were only, I forget the exact numbers, something like, I don't remember, 18, there were different girsos in the Gemara, how many it was, but let's say 18 Kohanim Gadolim. Now think about the career, how long the career was for each Kohen Gadol, and you don't start your career as a Kohen Gadol, meaning you got to work your way up till you make it to Kohen Gadol. So usually, like, you know, if you're a Kohen Gadol, you're already middle-aged, I would imagine. So if there were only 18 of them in 410 years, that means, I don't know, can anyone do the math? that's an average of well over 20 years for each Kohen Gadol. So they really lasted. They did very well. In the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash lasted for 420 years, and there were well over 300 Kohanim Gadolim. And the Gemara says that if you take into account, there were, I think it was five that were tzaddikim. One of them, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, was Kohen Gadol for 80 years. And then he went off, but he was Kohen Gadol for 80 years, and Shimon HaTzadik was Kohen Gadol for a significant period of time. And when you take out those few tzaddikim that lasted a long time, each Kohen Gadol in the period of the second Beis HaMikdash lasted less than 1 year. That's how quick the turnover rate was. Now, why was the turnover rate so quick for Kohanim Gadolim in the period of the second Beis HaMikdash? I don't know. Why did they? That's one at a time, what?
Because they were so bad.
They were so bad. So what happened?
They that.
Oh, so it was worse.
What are you going to say? I assume these are political targets.
They're political targets? So that's not... I don't think that's exactly what happened. The Kohen Gadol has a very dangerous job, because he's supposed to be the holiest person. And on the holiest day of the year, he's supposed to enter the holiest place. He's supposed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim and come out unscathed, he really needs to be one of the holiest people. And if he's not ready for that, and he encounters that kind of Kedusha, it's like this blinding light. That Kedusha just, much like, you know, similar to at Har Sinai, where Hashem spoke the first two of the Aseres HaDibros from directly, and we all passed out. We couldn't handle it. So we had to get the rest from Moshe Rabbeinu. We couldn't hear it directly from Hashem. It's just too much. We don't have the kelim. It's like trying to give a baby, did we use this mashal last week? It's like trying to give a baby, you know, like tough meat that he can't possibly digest. So when you have people who are not on the level, that are going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim, they're not going to make it. They're just going to, so because they were Rishayim, they would all die within the year, and often on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says that they would tie like a rope around them when they went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because if they would drop dead there, they had to like pull them out. Which begs the question, by the way, if this happened hundreds of times, who on earth would want that job? Right? Meaning if you knew, and the Gemara says that they paid for the job. People, it was a bribe. You'd pay the king and ask to be appointed Kohen Gadol, and the highest bidder got to be Kohen Gadol. It was terrible, terrible corruption. That's how you get the job of Kohen Gadol? You know, can you imagine if, like, you know, that's how people became anything? If that's how, I mean, politics kind of works like that. If you can spend the most money on your campaign, you'll typically win. But I mean, that's terrible. It's terrible. That's why they have campaign finance laws. That's why, because it's really a terrible thing. That shouldn't happen. And you think to yourself, why are they paying for this? Why do they want this job? They're all dying. And I, what do you think the answer is? I mean, I don't know if there's an answer.
I don't know, but maybe like for Kabul, like even if they're going to die, at least they're the Kabul.
Ah, so one good thought perhaps is, there's nothing like kavod. You know, like better, you know, better to have what do they say? Better to have loved and lost than never loved at all, or something like that. Like better to have experienced the experience of being Kohen Gadol, even if it means I'm going to lose it, because then I'm an impact person in history. You know how many people live and die and no one ever remembers them. Now you're on that list of people that serve this Kohen Gadol. You live forever in a certain sense, because now you're historic. You're a historic figure, and that means something. That's very similar to what the Gemara Brachas Taf Chaf Ches, I think it is. The Gemara Brachas tells us that we know from the Haggadah Shel Pesach. He tells us Hareini Kiven Shivim Shana. Right? What does it mean that I am Kiven Shivim Shana? That he was like 70 years old. So the story was that when he wanted to take over, they wanted to appoint him Rosh Yeshiva. So his wife told him, you know, today they want to appoint you Rosh Yeshiva. They'll throw you out tomorrow, just like they did the last guy. And his response was, yeah, but then at least I will have experienced it. At least I will have been it. So that's definitely one possibility that's what they wanted. Another possibility? Why would anyone want this job if you're in a chance? If you know you're unworthy, and you know that unworthy people are going to die.
If you die, it's like a kapara for everything that you did.
Ah, so okay.
So if
meaning,
you're dying in such a holy way, and maybe.
Okay. Meaning you'd rather die with some meaning to it, even though it seems that it's a punishment. Meaning
it's a punishment, but because it's a punishment, then everything.
Then that's a kapara. Meaning when someone gets killed in Beis Din, for example.
Yeah.
So what do they tell the person before they get killed in Beis Din? Do tshuva because you're about to be killed, and the misa, and they're supposed to say a vidui, and they're supposed to say to misasi kaparasi, that my death should be a kapara, that should be an atonement. So maybe they were offering themselves as sacrifices in that sense, that it should be a kapara. I know. I always thought that it was like a sense of cognitive dissonance, that people know that there are bad people, but they never think of themselves as bad people. Even when they're doing really bad things, we tend to justify things so much in our heads that we've already worked it all out. Why it's not our fault, and why we didn't really do anything wrong, and why we're okay. And you know, it's a really important thing in life. Have someone who can sort of set you straight. You know, we're going to learn later in Pirkei Avos, at some point in Pirkei Avos comes up, that a person is k'nei l'cha chaver. You should have a good friend. You should have people who are willing to tell you. You know, the Gemara tells us that, what is it? Ezer kenegdo, right? That chav is an ezer kenegdo for Adam. So the Gemara says, zacha ezer, lo zacha kenegdo. So simple pshat means that if a man merits, he's going to find a wonderful wife who will be an ezer, who will help him out. And if he doesn't merit, he's not such a good guy, so he's going to get the kind of wife that's always going to be connected, that's always going to drive him crazy. And he's going to have a difficult marriage. So I once heard, I was at a Sheva Brachos for, I'm trying to remember who it was, I think it was the Sheva Brachos for my good friend Rabbi Meir Simcha Stromer, who's a Rebbe in Chicago. And they had a Sheva Brachos in Queens. And his father-in-law, Rabbi Prero from Chicago, spoke at the Sheva Brachos. And he said at that Sheva Brachos that he heard from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, the following idea. That the word zacha doesn't only mean merit. When one wins a court case, for example, we say he's zoche badin, that he was victorious, that he was proven right, that his argument was the better argument. He said, perhaps, Rav Lichtenstein suggested, zacha ezer, lo zacha kenegdo. That when one is married, zacha, when you're right, then Ezer. Then they'll support you and they'll help you and they'll strengthen you, and that's how a good marriage should work. That when you're fighting the good fight and you're doing something right and you're doing something that's productive and you're doing something positive, then Ezer, then you need that moral support, you need that push, you need the Ezer. Lo zacha, when you're wrong, not if you're a bad person, when you're wrong, in those things that you're wrong about, kinegdo, then you need someone who's going to say, whoa, stop what you're doing, this isn't okay. Someone who's going to, you know, be there to check and make sure that you're not getting out of control. You know, you see sometimes with very great people, you see the relate. You know, I like to watch sometimes like how they interact with their spouses. You know, some of us, I don't know if you ever do this. We had the opportunity a few weeks ago to host for Shabbos Mori Rabbi Rav Schechter Shlita, and it's obviously and Rebbetzin Schechter, and it's a fascinating thing to watch, just the interactions. It's a really, you know, zacha ezer lo zacha kenegdo. And you know, I remember I once asked Rav Shai, like does your mom like not realize like who he is, like, you know, he's the god of Aldar, right? Like, so he said that's the way it has to be, meaning he needs someone who's gonna tell him, when, because everyone else is, you know, if he does it, it's great, you know, no one's gonna, he needs someone who's gonna you know, speak her mind and not be afraid, and she certainly is not. So perhaps, meaning, if a person doesn't have that in their life, they don't have someone who's going to be lo zacha kenegdo, so you'll always be zacha, you'll always think that you're correct. Meaning, we have, working for us, in our psyche, working for our Yetzer Hara, a team of the most high-priced lawyers in the world that can take everything that we do and somehow tighten it up for the good, that no matter what we do, it's automatically good. So it could be that people are just cognitive dissonance, that people didn't realize that they weren't going to make it, that, you know what, you're not a tzaddik. And you know when they found out? When they walked into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and then they found out that they weren't a tzaddik. So anyway, Shimon HaTzaddik was a tzaddik. That's how he got the name Shimon HaTzaddik. There aren't that many people that get the name HaTzaddik, right? There are only a few. It's interesting, who else has the title HaTzaddik? Where else do we find HaTzaddik? You have HaKadosh by a few people, right? Yeah, the Al-Shech HaKadosh, the Ari HaKadosh, that usually means that they study Kabbalah. But what is that? Where else do we have HaTzaddik? Someone was saying? Yosef HaTzaddik, right? Any others? There aren't many, right? Mordechai Tzaddik. So Tzaddik usually, Noach, Eli told us Noach is Tzaddik, Tamimahiyah Bedarosa, right? Tzaddik implies, I think Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his commentary on Chumash, that Tzaddik implies that there was a struggle. Tzaddik means to be tzodek, to overcome. Tamim implies that everything was smooth, that everything was pure, that everything was good. Tzaddik implies that there was something to overcome. You know, a lot of times you read Gedolim biographies, and the objection that many people have to the Gedolim biographies is that they read like the person never had any nisayon in their entire lives, like everything was smooth. Most people are not like that. I would venture to say nobody's like that. Life, what?
Sorry, Noah has both.
Noah has both, exactly. So in a certain sense, he was a tzaddik, and in a certain sense, he was a tamim. So you have to say that he was, meaning that's why Tamim Hayah B'Darosav, he was an ish tzaddik, that B'Gadol, when you view him, he had to overcome a lot of things, but compared to his whole generation, he was perfect, meaning he was B'Darosav. There are other ways to understand it also, but they highlight different elements. So, I was just actually, I was speaking at this event we had with Shai Yashiv in the shul tonight, and I said over a vart I heard from my friend Rabbi Yechiel Weberman many years ago, that Rabbi Weberman said that, you know, the Gemara tells us in Masech HaShabbos, that famous Gemara, that a ger came, a potential convert, came to Shammai, and he said, I want you to be Megari Mi Al Manasseh, you teach me Kol HaTorah Kula Al Regel Achas. And Shammai was the Chafa Bamas Abinin, he shoved him away. Then he came to Hillel, and he said, he tried again, which is also says something about a person, which is, by the way, that's what we do with potential converts. They come, you push them away. If they come back, now we talk, right? Meaning you have to see that there's a real interest. So he came back a second time, but this time he went back to Hillel and said, "I want you to teach me Kol Torah Kula. I'll ask you to teach. I want to be Megayer. I'll ask you to teach me Kol Torah Kula Regel Achas." And Hillel said, "Ma dalach sni lechaver chol sabid, idach pirusha zil gemara. Whatever you don't like, don't do it to somebody else. The rest is commentary. Go learn it." So Rabbi Weberman told me that he heard from Rabbi Ram Shor, Shlita, once that Rav Shor said that what was the guy looking for? What was this guy interested in? So he said perhaps what he was looking for was, I want life to be easy. You know, whatever I could do on one foot. You know, there's not that much I could do on one foot. I want it to be easy. I want it to be smooth. I like everything to be smooth sailing. And Shammai said, that's ridiculous. That's not how life is. You know, if you look at an EKG machine, right? So if it's going up and down and up and down and up and down, that's a sign of life. If it's like smooth, that's not smooth, that's death, right? That's if it's flatlining, that's not life. Life by definition is up and down. You listen to music. What's music? Music is, it's a high note, a low note. It's a combination of different notes. If you just listen to monotony, to just, there's no, even if it's a high pitch, if it's just one pitch the whole time, that's not music. That's not something that you can listen to. Even when you hear speakers, you know, sometimes people will say, I remember I taught in high school for many years, I know that Rebbe's a nice guy, but he's so boring. You know, you'll hear that sometimes. He's so boring. I mean, I don't know if they said that about me behind my back or not, but, you know, so what does he's so boring mean? He's teaching Torah. Torah is the most exciting, most amazing thing in the world. How could he possibly be boring? The Dvar Hashem is boring? It can't be. What do they often mean? Often it means that he sounds boring, that just his voice is just like lulls you to sleep. Sometimes you could be saying the same words, but a speaker, you know, there's a Rebbe in NCSY Kollel, the one who runs NCSY Kollel, Rabbi Moshe Benevitz. I could listen to Rabbi Moshe Benevitz read a phone book, and I would be enthralled. Whatever he says, it just sounds like it's the most important thing. It sounds like, I once told the Talmidim there that when he speaks, it sounds like he was born for the sole purpose of telling you the very next thing you're about to hear from his mouth. Like, that's what he was put on this earth to do. And that's excitement. That's life. When there's ups and there's downs. You know, every time I say that part, like, I get self-conscious. Am I going up and down and up? But that's what life is. The Ger says, So Shammai says, it's ridiculous. That's not life. So what does Hillel say? He'll say, you know what, I'll teach you Kol Torah Kula, but it's not going to be easy. Life is not going to be easy. I agree with Shammai. But you think you need smooth sailing because otherwise you're not going to make it. You think you're a convert, and how are you going to make it when life gets challenging? You don't have the background. You're not going to be able to stand up to the challenges. You're not going to be able to step up and be productive when life gets difficult. Hillel says, I'm going to give you the tools to succeed. First thing you need to do, connect with other people. Because there's almost nothing that we can handle on our own, and there's almost nothing that we can't handle when we have a proper social setting and social framework of people, support system of people that can help us out. If you connect with other people, if you have people that can give you chizik, if you have people that are there for you, people that will cry with you when you're down in those valleys, and will celebrate with you in those peaks, then you'll get through any valley and you'll enjoy the peaks so much more. That's the first step. Idach perusha zil gemar. Everything else is commentary, and go study it. So that's what a person has to be, a tzaddik. A tzaddik doesn't mean that you had it easy. No one has it easy. You have to overcome things in life. And everybody has, you know, my father told me when I was a little boy, I remember he said that there's no old Yiddish expression. I don't speak any Yiddish, so he just told it to me in English. I still don't know the expression in Yiddish. But the expression goes something along the lines of, if everyone put their pekala on the table, pekala meaning everyone put their tsaros, their problems, their challenges, their difficulties on the table and said, okay, who wants mine and we'll trade, everyone would take back their own. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us our own challenges, because that's what we're here to do. That's our mission in life. Not that we ask for those challenges, but that's what it means to be a tzaddik. To be a tzaddik means to be tzodek, to be victorious, to overcome. Yosef is Yosef a tzaddik, because can you imagine the nisyonos that person had? What he had to deal with? Dealing with brothers who hated him, wanted him dead. And then being all alone and trying to maintain some level of spirituality when the only source of that spirituality, which was his family, had written him off. And as far as he knew, some modern commentaries suggest that some modern rabbis suggest, as far as he knew, his father wrote him off. He didn't even know that his father wasn't involved necessarily in his ouster from the family and his being sent down to Mitzrayim. Nothing. And he managed to overcome that. And when Eishes Potiphar goes after him, you know, I remember as a young child thinking, the way they told it to us, that Eishes Potiphar wanted to marry Yosef. And he said, I will not marry him. I'm like, oh, of course you wouldn't marry her. She's Eishes Potiphar. Why would he marry her? But like, if you, as an adult, when you think about that, that's something. He was all alone. And here was this powerful woman throwing herself at him. And he just, and he overcame. That's tzaddik. Tzaddik doesn't mean that you don't have challenges. Tzaddik means that you overcome it. Anyway, let's get past the first five words of the Mishnah. Shimon HaTzaddik HaYim Yishar Knesset HaGadol. So Shimon HaTzaddik was from the last of the Knesset HaGadol, the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. Hu Haya Omer. So he used to say the following. Al Shlosh Devarim HaOlam Omid. That the world stands on three things. So first of all, Hu Haya Omer. That's a strange way to say it. Why not say Amar Shimon HaTzaddik Al Shlosh Dvarim HaOlam Omid? Hu Haya Omer. What is Hu Haya? He used to say. It's like I don't know if this is still relevant, but it used to be. I remember like what I used to call like the 12-year-old girl syndrome. You know. There's a certain way to talk. Oh my God, my brother, he went to the, you know, like you say the subject first and then like go into the sentence. But that's not like proper English, the way to speak. My brother went to the game with his friends. You know, it's not, oh my God, my brother, he went to the game with his friends. So who are you? What does that mean? Shimon HaTzaddik. Oh, Shimon HaTzaddik, he said, what kind of thing is that? Hu Haya Omer. So I don't remember where it originates, who said it originally, but I remember who told it to me. Rabbi Moshe Bamberger, who is the Mashgiach in Lander College Men, based Medrash LaTalmud, told me, he wrote a whole book about this actually, that, or did he? Or he was planning on. Hu Haya Omer, no, he did, he wrote a whole book about this. Hu Haya Omer is that it's not just something that he would say, not just a teaching that he would offer, his very essence would say this. Meaning when we say throughout Pirkei Avos, Hu Hayomer, it means this is what he stood for. This was his very essence. This is what he was all about. So Rabbi Bamberger had the great idea of writing a book of Hu Hayomers. Meaning, find Gedolei Torah throughout the generations who said a Dvar Torah that really, really speaks to who they are. Meaning an autobiographical Dvar Torah. A Dvar Torah that highlights a Midah that really represents, you know, what they are, what their unique character trait is. And there's if you pay careful attention to Divrei Torah from Gedolei Yisrael and to their biographies and to their personalities, you find a lot of times there are a lot of Hu Haya Omers. Because when a person says Torah that's their own, their Mechadish Divrei Torah, it's coming from the depth of their neshamos. It's coming from who they are. It's coming from their own os in Torah, from their own letter in Torah. Shishim Ribo Osios L'Torah, each Jew has an os in the Torah, and that's coming from them. So Hu Haya Omer, this is what he stood for, this is what he represented. Al Shosh Dvar Malon Omer, the world stands on three things. And three things are Torah, Avoda, and Gemil. So right away, whenever you see the number three in Judaism, what do you think of? The Avos, right? Who knows three? I know three.
Just okay. Practice.
Just practiced a couple of weeks ago, exactly. So three is the Avos. So of course, the Mefarshim right away are going to try to connect this to the Avos. And it's not even a difficult one, right? Gemilas Chasadim, let's go backwards. Gemilas Chasadim, Avram, Avoda, Yitzchak, right? Yitzchak's Tefillah and Karbanos is Avoda, and Torah is Yaakov. Yaakov is Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. Right? Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim means he spent his days in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever. He spent his time first in the Beis Medrash of Yitzchak, then in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever. He spent his time learning Torah. So anything jump out at you about this Mishnah, if that's correct? If
Tom?
What? Ah, so Tam, I think, it's interesting, when we say the Tam in the Haggadah, so Tam sounds like a fool, right? He sounds like, any of the Elishol sounds like something that's even hard to relate to, What does that mean? And you, like in the Haggadah with pictures, you ever, like this is the Pirkei Avos with pictures. If you look at the Haggadah with pictures, so they'll draw the Chacham, well, depending who published the Haggadah, right? If sometimes they'll draw the Chacham like as a chassid, because, you know, he's religious, right? Sometimes it's with a big kipasru guy, and, you know, like whoever is publishing the Haggadah, whatever their vision of a Chacham is. The Rasha, for some reason, facial hair, partial facial hair, is big with Rishayim. Like a goatee is very big with Rishayim. Earring, for sure, and leather is his fabric of choice. So that's the Rasha. So the Rasha is easy. And, you know, he's got pointy, yeah, whatever. So the Rasha is easy. The Tam usually is just like that, right? And then very often in the picture I got this, the Eini Yode Elishol is the same picture as the Tam, they just take away his mouth. It's like, but no mouth. So, and that's the Eini Yode Elishol. And like you think to yourself, that can't be what it means because people have mouths, right? Meaning, like, he can't just be the Tam, you know, that went through some horrific surgery that closed up his mouth. And that can't possibly be the case. So Tam must mean something else. So the Nesivos in the Haggadah, Rabbi Yaakov Melissa writes in the Haggadah Maisa Nisim that Tam actually means a Ben Torah. It means Ish Tam Yoshev Olim. It means someone who learns Torah. Ish Tam Yoshev Olim means that Yaakovinu sat in the Ol of Shem Ever. What's the Chacham then?
Sorry. The Tam, we said the Tam's the opposite of like a Tzaddik and like perseverance.
In perseverance.
And like struggle.
Right. That everything, you know, that Tam means right. Tam means perfection. It means that there's a sense of perfection. It doesn't. It's not the. I wouldn't say the opposite of a tzaddik. To contrast with a tzaddik, means that there was falling and there was getting up. Shevet yipol tzaddik v'kam, right? A tzaddik falls seven times and then gets up. A tam never fell. B'makom shabali tshuva amdemein tzaddikim gemurim yicholim lamod. It really means ein tam yicholim lamod. Because Bali Tshuva are tzaddikim. Meaning,
so what does Torah have to do with the Tam? I'm sorry if it's like off topic.
No. Everything's off. That's the way the shir is working. But Tam means that there's a sense of purity, a sense of just being untainted by any sin. So when a person is learning Torah, you're connecting to the divine. You're connecting to Hashem. And Hashem is untainted. The Bala Tanya writes in the fourth parak of the Likutei Amarim that when a person learns Torah, when you do mitzvos, let's see how to say this best. When you do mitzvos, you're connecting to some representation of Hashem. When you learn Torah, v'kutcha b'ruchu chadhu, you're actually connecting to Hashem himself. Everything else you do, everything else you philosophize about, you think about, it's some representation of what you think is right or good. But Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the extent that we're able to understand him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pure. It's pristine. So when a person is learning Torah, he's tam, because you're connecting to that which has no impurities in it. A tam means to someone something that's perfectly pure. So that's Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. In the Haggadah, the Chacham is very likely, how the Rambam describes Avram Avinu. That Avram Avinu didn't just get it. He didn't just learn Torah. He looked at the world and he was able to figure out Hashem from the world. It's a different way of coming to it, not through Torah learning, but from looking at the mountains and these oceans and the trees and the animals, and he was able to see there must be a creator to all of this. And that's a chacham. That's someone who thinks a lot. That's someone who doesn't just take everything at the surface, but thinks beyond the surface. That's the chacham according to the Nesivos. And that's why, by the way, in the Haggadah, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah Le'amo Yisrael Baruch Hu. So we have four Baruchs, and Keneged Arba Banim Dibur Torah right after. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Sheni Yodei Elishol. Without going through all four of them right now, because it's too long, the Tam is which of the four children? What number is he on the list? Number three. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah Le'amal Yisrael. The Tam is the one that relates to Shenasan Torah Le'amal Yisrael. I'm not going to go through the others. I just want to make this point about Torah Avodim Yisrael. What I thought you were going to say when I said, is there anything that bothers you about this Mishnah about 10 minutes ago? I thought you were going to say, well, wait a second. If Torah Avodim Yisrael are Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, shouldn't it be Gmilus Chasadim Avodah and Torah? I mean, Gmilus Chasadim is Avram, Avodah is Yitzchak, Torah is Yaakov. So it's backwards. So that's something to think about. The other thing to think about, because our time is up, at the end of the perek, at the end of the first perek, the Mishnah tells us that al shlosh dvarim ha'olam kayim, that the world stands on three things: al adin, al emes, v'al shalom. So you think to yourself, wait a second, I just thought that the world stands on three things. Torah, v'adin, milas, chasadim. So what's your first instinct how to answer that? So either there's a difference between Omed and Kayim, so that's how half the commentaries go, that Omed is one thing, Kayim is another thing, or they're really the same list. Torah, Avod, Gmilas, Chasadim, Din, Emes, and Shalom. Which one is Emes? Torah is Emes, Moshe Emes, V'Torah is Emes. Shalom? Shalom is Gmilas, Chasadim, because Gmilas, Chasadim is kindness with other people, that's Shalom. And avoda is din. So if you associate, again, we're out of time. Maybe next week we'll pick up with that, because there's a lot to explore on that Mishnah. Okay, almost one Mishnah a week. We'll keep working. Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for coming.